Well, it was the summer of 1971, and I was walking across the campus of Penn State University, and I heard the words, "Jeremiah was a bullfrog," coming from the building on the Penn State campus. Now, any music aficionados in here that maybe have a little bit of age on them, they remember that being the words of the opening lyrics from a song titled "Joy to the World" that was sung by Three Dog Night. But the interesting thing is that whenever I hear that song, my mind instantly goes back to that day in the summer of 1971. I was on the campus of Penn State. We were the state demonstration contest for those that had won locally would go to Penn State campus and they would give their 4-H demonstrations, and I was on the campus for that. But it was, I can remember to this day, it was early evening. We were walking back from the creamery. We just had to get our ice cream fixed for the day. And it was just after dusk and walking across campus. And I can picture the setting and the events that were taking place that day and around that when I heard that song. You know, our fond or fearful memories, the first kiss, a bump in the night, they leave memory traces that we may conjure up in the remembrance of things past. It's complete with time, place, and all the sensations of the experience. And neuroscientists call these traces memory engrams. But are these memory engrams conceptual, or do they actually make physical changes in the neurons? In an MIT study, researchers used optogenetics to show that these memories really do reside in a very specific portion of the brain, and that they are truly physical changes that take place, and that when you recall memory, you can recall it complete with time, place, and all the sensations of the original experience. Well, today I'd like to take a look at this research conducted by MIT in the area of memory and recall. And I found the research and the findings to be very interesting, and I believe these findings can help us understand some of the warnings that we see in the Bible. You know, we see the Bible to guard ourselves against wrong influences and avoid taking part in wrong experiences. And I think if we want a title for the message, it's "Memory is Permanent. Be Careful What You Experience." Well, I said that the researchers at MIT, or researchers have long believed that changes in brain neurons are associated with the formation of memories. Today, most experts believe that memory creation is associated with the strengthening of existing connections or the growth of new connections between the neurons. You know, if some of you may have heard a now famous surgery that was done by a gentleman by the name of Wilder Penfield, and he was treating epilepsy surgically by scooping out parts of the patient's brain, frontal lobotomies in a lot of cases. And to ensure that he destroyed only the problematic neurons, he would stimulate just a portion of the brain with tiny jolts of electricity. They were under local anesthesia. And what he found is that when they would stimulate that, these people would recall some past experiences. But still, there was a physical stimulation in those. So, and it was in those experiments, they were stimulating the neurons in the area of the brain called the hippocampus. It's a region of the brain that is now considered essential to the formation and the recall of the episodic memories. Well, we fast forward to a little maybe higher technology now, and they introduce what they call optogenetics. And I don't understand the whole concept, but basically they are able to genetically modify cells that they then express light-activated proteins. So all they have to do is hit these genetically modified cells with light to stimulate the release of proteins. So by doing this, they decided to do an experiment with mice to see if memory is conceptual or actually physical. And the information I have is from an article in the MIT News. It was dated March 22nd in 2012, written by Catherine Delude. And what the researchers did is they first identified a specific set of brain cells in the hippocampus of a mouse that were active only when the mouse was learning about a new environment. And then they determined which genes were activated in those cells, and they coupled them with the gene for a light-activated protein. And then this light-activated protein would only be expressed in the neurons involved in the experiential learning. In other words, in the learning that took place in this particular environment. And finally, what they did is they put the mice into an environmental area, into an environment, and after a few minutes, the mice would receive a mild shock. And they learned to fear the particular environment in which the shock occurred, because they would repeat this. They would put this in an environment, they'd let them there for, keep them there for a while, and then they would receive the shock. And the brain cells that activated during this fear conditioning became tagged with this light-activated protein. And later, when they exposed the triggering pulses of light, so they hit those proteins that were coupled with that area of the brain, they hit it with light, the neurons involved in a fear memory switched on, and the mice went into a crouch, and even though they were in a totally pain-free environment, just by triggering that section of the brain, they went into a fearful crouch, just as if they were receiving the electric shock. And so what they discovered from this, or they proved, was that there actually were physical changes, and all it takes is some kind of some kind of a trigger mechanism, and that experience comes back, even though they're not in that same environment. It just triggers it. So, the experiment method is, what they did is they determined that, and they demonstrated that the mind, like memory recall, is based on physical changes in matter. It's not just conceptual. So what can we learn from this experiment? When I read this, in my mind, the key takeaway was that the fact is that our memories and our experiences create physical changes in our mind, not just conceptual. The mind is an awesome organ that God created with the ability to reason and to think logically, but we must be aware that we're physical beings, and there are certain things that we cannot control, and one of them is the fact that everything we experience makes a lasting impression and a physical change to our mind. It's not just conceptual. So let's look at the Bible, and I believe that we'll look at some scriptures that, maybe we can see it in a different light from the understanding why God tells us to be careful what we experience and what we take into our mind for that reason. If you would turn first to Proverbs 12 and verse 26, it's a very short verse, a very simple concept, but I think we can understand what he's saying. And again, in Proverbs 12 and verse 26, it says, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." That's a simple concept, but if we think about that we want to be careful of what our experiences are, why do we choose our friends carefully? Because in many cases, our friends are a direct influence on the events that we will experience in our lives. If we choose the wrong friends, we may find ourselves taking part in something that's not right, that's not godly. If the research that we just talked about is accurate, these experiences may make a physical change in the makeup of our minds that we will live with for the rest of our lives. Of course, we can all be forgiven, but the physical consequences still may remain. Let's look also then at a scripture or a series of verses. We'll look at Proverbs chapter 1. And obviously, we have been there, we have read this before, but I think it's worthwhile to go back. We'll read verses 7 through 19. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 through 19. And again, these are words of Solomon, a lot of wisdom in his words. And it's starting in verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And he goes on, he says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood, let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down to the pit, we shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill the houses with spoil.'" Again, I think this relates to the scripture we just looked at. It says, choose your friends wisely. It says, do not consent. Don't go with those people. Those are not your friends. They're not the people we want to associate with. And then in verse 14, continuing, it says, cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in a way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Again, the wrong activities. It would be the wrong experience that you would be partaking in. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away from the life of its owner. So, you know, we look at this and with the understanding that anything that we experience makes a permanent change in our mind. You know, we receive invitations to go with friends, associates every day. Invitations to walk with the godly and invitations to walk with those that are sinners. It may be at work, maybe at school, but all of us will receive these invitations to join one group or another to participate in certain activities or to refrain from participating. You know, it doesn't matter if we get caught or not. If we allow ourselves to participate with the others in doing something that's against God's law, there's a lasting memory. There's something that is physically etched in the brain that will be recalled from time to time throughout our life. You know, accepting the wrong invitation, giving in, and participating in the wrong behavior takes away from the innocence of those who indulge in those behaviors. We cannot physically undo the permanent memories that are made when we partake in these activities. Yeah, I think we can look at another principle. We can see this principle in another scripture, again in Proverbs. It seems like there's a lot of these that are in Proverbs. If we turn to Proverbs, and we'll turn to chapter 6, verse 27 and 28. And it says, can a man take fire to his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? Now, in the context, he's talking about adultery. But I think in the context of the experiment, the research that we just were referring to, I think we can look at this in a principle. Basically, you know, it says, can you take something into your heart, into your body, even experience something, you know, emotionally and not have it affect you physically? And it can't. I think we understand that. You know, Solomon is talking about, you know, we create a physical memory that cannot be erased. You know, what type of music do we listen to? With whom do we associate? Each one of these decisions will have an impact on our life experiences. If it's true that every event we experience makes a physical change, the neurons in the brain can be recalled with the right stimulation, then we should take precautions and consider carefully all of our actions. Let's just turn to one other scripture I think that will help us to understand this concept, and that's in James chapter 2, verse 23. In James 2 and verse 23, okay. And it says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You know, it's very simple, but his friend was someone that was godly. Our friend, God should be our friend as well. Our friend should be those that will help us to remain, our activities would be godly and upright. That's what we're looking for in the way we in the life that we, in our lives, that we go through our daily activities. You know, one of the things that I look at is as we go through life, you know, God has given us a conscience. And the concept I've thought about is that our conscience is kind of like guardrails. You know, as we drive down the highway, we have guardrails, at least in some roads. But as we drive, but we don't use that conscience. We don't drive right up along that guardrail. We should not always be right on the edge. You know, there might be a steep embankment on both sides. And, you know, the guardrails keep us from making that wrong turn, making that decision. But, you know, just we still always want to run down that path. And there's those that always seem like they run right on the edge. But you don't see cars driving down the highway off the road right up against the guardrail just because the guardrail is there. So, you know, what we want to do is the guardrail, our conscience is a safety device that keeps us from making a fatal mistake. But our conscience should be the same. We should normally conduct ourselves in a godly manner, but when the tough situation arises, it should be time to allow the conscience to guide us back to the center of the road. And I think if we do that, we understand that it will help us to make those right decisions so we don't end up, you know, making those permanent changes in our mind, in our brain, that creates memories that we don't want that will affect us. You know, one of the things that you know, as this research demonstrates, experiences create a physical and permanent change in our brains. You know, memories reside in that specific cells in the brain, and they can be recalled at any time. You know, God knew that when he created man, he gave us numerous warnings of not allowing ourselves to experience things that we would rather not recall. You know, memory is not a matter of choice, but it's a matter of hardwiring physical changes that have taken place in the mind. And we cannot, without the help of God, change these memories and even events that we have experienced in our mind. So if it's, you know, let's not get involved in those wrong experiences, and let's just remember that memory is permanent. Let's be careful what we experience.